All right, it's the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As we teed up earlier in the show, Commissioner Gary Bettman of the National Hockey League set to join us. Commissioner, how are you? It's been a while. How are things?
Things are great. It's been too long. It's fun to be in the new year as we get to the second half of the season. So it's all good. And I guess it's all good to be with you too.
Well, so great. I know you've been busy lately, especially on podcasts. Now, can I give a shout out to the NHL.com and this new podcast, Never Offside, with Julie Petrie and Kat Toffoli. Now, you were their first guest, and I haven't had a chance to hear it, but I assume it's a lot like being with my wife, where you just sat back and listened to ways that you can improve as a person.
Oh, boy, that's very sexist of you. I'm not touching
No.
By the way, they were great, and it was an engaging conversation. They were very well prepared, and I really enjoyed the experience. And when you go home, you're in trouble with your wife.
I constantly, as far as being truly busy here, you've gone on record with a negotiation with the NHLPA on a new CBA. You'd like that thing signed, sealed, and delivered by the Stanley Cup final. We assume that you guys are talking, and the process has started officially.
No, we haven't started yet. The plan was to start, Marty Walsh told me, probably beginning of February. He wants to get his ducks in a row with the players, make sure he has all the input that they want to give him. But, you know, we talk on a regular basis anyway, so I'm not anticipating any issues. I believe and I hope that this will go smoothly, and it won't be a distraction to anybody, and that we can get it done a year in advance. That's my wish, and I believe it's Marty's as well.
I've been a part either as a player or as a broadcaster, commissioner, in terms of, you know, the swing from cap to no cap, but then we got to a place of a 50-50 revenue split. I assume, you know, going back to my wife, she often tells me that's the most fairest thing in this world, 50-50, so There isn't really any movement on that. I assume then it's working around the edges?
Yeah, well, two things. One, it's never a good practice to negotiate publicly, and it's never a good practice to negotiate in an anticipatory way publicly. And two, I think it's fair to say, and I'm on record as saying, I think the system we have has worked very well. We've seen the game grow dramatically. And so I'm anticipating a very constructive dialogue where we discuss the things that we think are important. But I'm not sure that either of us are focused on fundamental issues.
Gary, I want to get your thoughts on the state of the game from a sense of the pandemic led to a flat salary cap, and I would say more parity. You've talked in the past, I believe, about encouraging parity, liking parity, and I don't know that we've ever seen parity like the league has right now. There doesn't seem to be any teams that are falling out or missing playoffs. We're halfway through, and at the same time, maybe no super teams. How do you feel about where the game's at in that way?
I think competitive balance is extraordinarily important. I think the players have more fun if they know no matter what team they're on, they've got a shot to make the playoffs, that they're in the hunt through most of the regular season. And I think it's most important for the fans to feel engaged, that no matter who you root for, you believe your team has a shot. And if you make the playoffs, anything can happen, which is what we've seen. So from a competitive standpoint, I think we have probably the best system in all of professional sports. And it's enabled the game to be more exciting, more entertaining, more skillful from a player standpoint. And it's watched the game grow dramatically, both in terms of people engaged with the game and in terms of revenues.
And revenues, Commissioner, closing in on $7 billion, which is great for everybody. But you know, at a certain point, is it healthy enough for 32 teams to continue to push a floor up? I know last year you visited Winnipeg, and it was a scenario where you met with some corporate people to kind of remind of everybody of the support that's needed today. How has that gone in the last little while for you? Are you seeing what you wanted to see, what you tried to accomplish with that visit?
Well, first of all, I don't know that a team like Winnipeg could compete if we didn't have the system that we have. I think Mark Chipman, the managing owner of Winnipeg, would be the first to tell you that. I don't believe that he would have purchased the team and put them back in Winnipeg without the system we have. I think their attendance issue is getting better. Attendance is up, and it has nothing to do with the competitive balance. If anything, competitive balance helps them. I think it's more they started selling tickets in a certain way when the team came back, and the business community really wasn't as engaged as perhaps it should have been from the outset because they didn't need to. I mean, I think on an individual basis, all individuals, I think they sell out like in 12 minutes online on a season ticket basis for the entire season. So in the final analysis, you'll see a particular issue in a particular place, but the system, which by the way includes revenue sharing, so that clubs that need some additional assistance to get to the cap or close to the cap is there. And you know, I'm in a position where I think if you look at our 32 clubs, the strength of our clubs, the strength of ownership has never been better.
You know, I think as we wrap up sort of the business end of asking you some questions here, one thing that our guests or our listeners would want me to ask as Canadian listeners is, could you ever see a world where the salary cap was pre-tax, where state taxes didn't matter, or, oh no, okay, you don't like it?
Well, no, it's not that I don't like it. If you look since the cap came into effect, the number of Stanley Cups won in Los Angeles, in California, Anaheim and Los Angeles, which has about as high a tax rate as anywhere in Canada, is the same number as been won in Florida. Okay, I don't believe that it is the issue that some make it out to be. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's the deciding factor in terms of where players want to go. We're not hearing from the players that it's an issue. And so, and when you look at it, you can't just look at taxes. You got to look at the cost of living, the cost of housing. What's a desirable place to live in? And the fact that we have a salary cap means that one team, no matter what jurisdiction they're in, or another, can't scoop up all of the best players and get the best economic deal. So, but, you know, it's something we look at to make sure that there's a fundamental or substantive basis to what I'm saying. And based on the preliminary analysis we've done, I believe what I'm saying is correct. But it's a great question.
You're watching and listening to the Commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. Just one more on the Canadian dollar. Again, similar to state, it's just out of your hands, nothing you can do, but how does it affect, does it move the needle?
No, I don't think, you know, that the Canadian dollar, based on the fact that we do everything in U.S. dollars and we revenue share in U.S. dollars, it is an issue. I believe that Canadian clubs are able to compete as well as any of the U.S. clubs, including U.S. clubs in high-tax jurisdictions and in low-tax jurisdictions. So, you know, I know that a Canadian club hasn't won the cup in a long time, but I don't think that's the way you judge this. You really have to look at the full body of work over an entire season and what actually happens in the playoffs. I think the fact that the game is so competitive is the biggest factor here more than anything else. It's hard. You know, yeah. Listen, Nick, you won a cup in the pre-cap era, and you know how hard that is. And so, you know, this is the hardest trophy to win in all the sports.
So one of the things that you do like is when everyone is in it and everyone has a chance to win. When Kipper won the cup, I think there were six teams in the league. There might have been a few more. My math and it may not be bang on. Do you think that we would ever consider this expanded playoffs? I know you've been asked it before, but 32 teams, a lot of hockey teams, get more revenue, more playoff games, more teams in it?
I think it would diminish the value of the playoffs. I think it would diminish the value of the regular season. Our regular season is incredibly meaningful. 2 points in October or November can be the difference between a team making the playoffs and not. And I think that's what you want from a regular season. I don't think we need to gimmick up either the regular season or the playoffs. And our first round, because the matchups are so good and the competition is so good, our first round may be the best thing there is in playoffs among the major sports. So I believe that. I know when we discussed this with the general managers, while some of them would like it to be easier to get into the playoffs, I think having a one or two or three game series in our sport where a hot goaltender can knock you off of what had been a great season, I think that's a gimmick. I think what we have is true to the authenticity of our game. By the way, speaking of the Stanley Cup, a good piece of trivia. I was obviously in the building when Nick won the cup. And when the Islanders, I think it was their second cup, which they won at home against Minnesota, I was in the building, Justin, when your dad won it. And I was there as a fan thinking about how it was the most remarkable championship presentation I'd ever seen. Because in those days, none of the other sports did the presentations in front of the fans, and the NHL was the only one doing it, and I was completely blown away. The fact that I would then subsequently down the road be the one presenting the cup, you know, had I thought that at the time, they probably would have institutionalized it.
That's cool. I think that is really cool. I think I was in the building, but I was in my mom's tummy at the time there, Gary. Sorry.
Commissioner, I got to ask you about the build up to the Four Nations tournament. How's it going from your side, the build up? And a two part question is also the decision to stay out of your two biggest markets in North America, Toronto and New York City. As we know, it's now Montreal and Boston.
I mean, we don't do everything in our biggest markets. We like to move things around. Montreal is a great hockey market, obviously. It's a great international city. Boston has great fans. I was actually there last night at a gala for their foundation. We think these are two great places to be. And we're thrilled to be going there. And the fan response in terms of ticket sales has been terrific. So, we look for the best opportunities to make it a big event. And I think this event on the stages that those two cities present is going to be a huge success. Most importantly, I hear from the players how thrilled they are about it. And I hear from the players whose countries aren't yet represented how thrilled they're not.
So, yeah, well, that's actually interesting. And so this is kind of related to that. Russia is not in it, as we know, but Russia's not in a lot of stuff right now. They're not in the Olympics, the World Juniors. They're not in several things. Right now, we have a really cool thing going on in our sport where Ovechkin got the great chase. He's about to break one of our sport's greatest records. Is it at all complicated by that he is Russian?
No, it's not. What, that he may break the record?
Yeah, that he's, we're going to be featuring.
We're a very open and diverse league, welcoming league. He plays for the Washington Capitals, as far as we're concerned. He's not playing for Russia. And the fact that he may approach and break a record that nobody thought could ever be done is a testament to him and the Capitals. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. And we're excited for the Great Eight chase. And the great one and I, probably when he's got 4 or 5 games to go, will start following around with him. And the coverage will increase as he gets closer and closer. I think this is a great event for sports, not just hockey or the NHL.
And as Justin mentioned, no Russia, no Czechia, no Germany, the Swiss team. How optimistic are you that the next World Cup could be an 8 nations tournament? Yeah.
I believe the World Cup will have broader representation, whether it's 8, 12 teams, whether or not there's a qualification round. Those are things that have yet to be worked out. We have no control over the way the athletic community is treating Russia. I mean, those are decisions that are being made in the first instance by the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, and the International Ice Hockey Federation. And it's not just in our sport. I mean, it's throughout. It'll be interesting to see what the IOC decides to do with the next Olympics. But it's complicated, too, because there are other countries that will be less than happy, I am told, that if Russia does participate, that, you know, in worldwide politics on an international level, that's complicated stuff. And we don't get to make those decisions for those organizations.
Yeah, fair enough. So we've been talking about some of the great events the NHL does put on. You just wrapped up another Winter Classic. You know, the evolution of outdoor games for the NHL, I guess I wanted to get your perspective on how you look at it from how you viewed outdoor games when they started to where they're at now and where they're going.
For us, the uniqueness of what we can do with a regular season game and the response that it has gotten from the fans and from players who participate has been phenomenal. Right. If you've never been to one and you've watched all 42 on TV, you tune in, you see how we decorate the stadium and what we do for the opening, which is always spectacular and always different. But if you've been to these and you feel what's going on in the stadium, you feel the energy, the excitement, the vibe, the coming together in larger numbers, obviously exponentially than we typically play in, it is truly special and it doesn't get old. And I've been at all of them. And everyone feels special and unique. And our goal is each time to build on what we've done before to see if we can take it to the next level. You know, when we started the ice, you know, we learned a lot about making ice in these temporary situations. Mm-hmm. And the ice has gotten so good that the players say it may be the best ice they play on all season. And so we're constantly looking to engage fans and make it special for them and for the players. And that's what we'll continue to do. And we're not adverse to trying things that are unique and innovative. And even in the two we just announced for next season, questioning whether or not people think we're nuts. But we wouldn't be attempting the two games in Florida if we didn't think we could do it and do it in a great way.
How far are we from an international outdoor game?
Great question. It's something we talk about. And at some point, we may get to that type of event. We're not there yet. I'm not holding anything back. No announcements are imminent. But it is something that we talk about.
One more for me, just expansion. And I'm sure if you look over your long career of being a commissioner, man, there was a break point where you didn't have to go knock on doors anymore. And it must be a full-time job just having cities or states or countries call you up and say, I want a team.
You know, it's not full time, but it's a fun part of the job. Mm-hmm. Feels much better than it did, you know, 30 years ago when franchises weren't as strong. The great thing is, as I mentioned before, our franchises have never been stronger. Our ownership has never been stronger. And we get lots of expressions of interest. And what I say is we don't have expansion. Something teed up is we're going to do an expansion process. Put your applications in by X date. Four criteria you look at. First and foremost, ownership, building, market, and does it make the league stronger? And among the people and groups and places we talk to, if somebody can check all four boxes and make a compelling case, we'll tell them to come in and talk to us. We'll listen, we'll evaluate. And if I think it makes sense, I'll take it to the owners. But we're not there yet. But yes, conversations have gone on and continue to go on. But we're not at the stage where we're ready to embrace one of these opportunities. Doesn't mean we won't be at some point, but we're not right now.
I lived in Chandler, Tempe for a few years. There's some land out there, Gary.
Yeah, well, listen, Arizona was a great market. And over time, we had some ownership issues. And when we didn't have ownership issues, we had building issues. But we were sorry. We're thrilled to be in Utah. We were sorry to leave Arizona. And the fans there, and I know the players liked living there, but it was clear that even under the best case, we were going to be at Arizona State in a college ring for at least 5 years, and that was unacceptable. And if, in fact, there's a building alternative that emerges that would work at the professional level for us and somebody's interested in owning a team there again, we'll have the conversation. But until there's a building situation that makes sense, there's nothing to talk about there.
Okay, just quick follow-up on Utah. Last week I brought my daughter a stuffed animal home, and she named it Bumble and drew a picture of it. And I just want to know why we can't get a name and a jersey for Utah.
We're working on it. We had done the Utah transaction so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a unique transaction. Nobody's ever done anything like that. The time frame was unbelievable. And beyond the logistics of making the deal and papering it and arranging what had to be sold either from the league or from the Coyotes, what the Smiths did, Ryan and Ashley Smith and their organization, putting everything in place that they did over a couple of months in the summer, off the charts, incredible. Mm-hmm. The players, I'm told, and I was there opening night, love being there. They're feeling well treated. They love Salt Lake City. Perfect situation, but there were some things we just couldn't do in that time frame. And picking a name that you can trademark legally without infringing somebody else isn't the easiest thing to do, and it takes time. And designing uniforms and logos takes time, so we had to keep it simple. It's okay for the time being.
All right.
We can live with it.
Okay. One more for me, just in terms of, especially here at Sportsnet Rogers, you're shopping for a new national, contract. How's that going? Is streaming the way to go here? How close are you to doubling up your $5 billion last time?
Easy.
Well, it goes back to a question you asked and I answered before, I don't negotiate publicly. We're not shopping. We're in an exclusive negotiating period with Rogers. We have meetings set up, and we're going to respect the process. Rogers has been a terrific partner. What some people tend to forget, and particularly on the landscape throughout North America of media, our original deal with Rogers, which is now 11 years old, contemplated streaming as part of that package, and they do stream certain packages, the out-of-market packages. So we're thrilled with the partnership. Obviously, we think we're a very valuable property, particularly in Canada. And I'm hopeful that we have constructive discussions with our existing partner because they've been a good partner.
Is there a small chance I can get you to call my wife and tell her I was just joking and that she, and that she completes me?
Well, you've just told her. I don't have to. I assume she listens to you.
Always fun, Commissioner. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for all you do covering the game.
All right.
And we appreciate it.
All right, Commissioner Gary Bettman. I'm in trouble.
You're dead.
Called me sexist.
I'm cooked.
I thought it was just like a funny, like I didn't, and then he's just like right, bang, right out. Anyway,
he hit me right between the
eyes.
He
did catch you with a right hook.
It's the Mike Tyson line. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Good questions, boys. Good questions.
Yeah, he was great.
You weren't quite Ron McClain. I didn't think the old school Ron McClain,
no,
where
no.
It was just like they're punching each other in the face for two,
right.
for 10 minutes. But it was good.
No,
some
I know
stuff
better.
There. Good, some stuff there.
Yeah, it is fascinating. You know, I just on. You know, the whole Rogers thing, it has been, the relationship there has been good with everyone, which is really cool. And presumably that, I guess now's the time, right? Is that the open window for discussion?
Closing
Sportsnet stream as well?
Closing in on $7 billion of revenue. And when I first started, I don't even think we had the B word.
Yeah.
So, I listen. You can compare it all you want to the NFL. The NFL is just, it's another planet.
It's not the same.
Okay?
Yeah, it's not.
It's not the same.
If you compare yourself to that, you're never going to be satisfied.
But
it's a different animal.
32 teams. I didn't think I'd live to see 32 teams.
So you guys were talking about the expansion stuff, and you didn't get to it, but I don't think there's enough, like, hockey players for two more teams.
Well,
you know, we actually talked about asking
it's,
that.
It's,
but, like, is there enough
Hockey players? First of all, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care what it looks like. It's like, you want to stroke a check? You want to get into the big boys club?
I'll take your billions.
Stroke it.
You know, to sort of refine that thought a little bit, I think when there's lesser players in the league, mistakes get made and the elite players look great, and that helps. I think if I ran a league, I would like my stars to look like stars.
Yeah. Do you want to know how good our league would look every night if we were down to like 2014?
Oh, my God.
It'd be... You know,
a lot of jobs gone.
Just explosion of bodies. I feel like it would be too much.
I was part of the PA for a long time, and like, it's not their job to go out there and create more jobs. It's not. It's to protect your rights, and it's not about like, if you have a job just because it's a watered down 32 team league, that's not good enough for me. And I don't think that's the PA's job, is to protect someone just to so they can go to work every day. It's to protect your rights. That's their job. So if it came down to 24 teams, I'd be for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just never going to happen.
But it's not going to happen because there's too much value. There's too much money to be made. Yeah. And people love it. So it's growing. I get all of that, but... There are times when it looks like a watered-down product.
For sure. Do you think there's a chance that the next CBA could include, like with the NHL, would the players say, hey, expansion fees got to count towards hockey-related revenue?
Absolutely.
It will never happen.
Okay.
It will never happen. But what they can do is say, okay, we'll give you $100 million here.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
But it's not.
This is your expansion bonus.
We'll dress it up any way you want. Yeah. You guys have done a nice job for us. We're up to 32. We're getting $2 billion franchise. We just got $4 billion if you go to 34, right? Yeah.
34 is so much.
Here's $100 mil. Yeah. Go have a night out on us.
34 is just, sorry, way too many teams.
Well, I will say,
way too many hockey teams in the league.
From a fan perspective alone, let alone the players to play the games, it gets impossible to follow the league. There's too many teams, and it's like, oh, you don't know who that guy is? And it's like, who does?
No, no.
You know, like, I do this for a living. But I spend all day consuming hockey, and some days I'm like, the NHL, Philp? Who's Philp?
Who's in that tonight?
Yeah.
The NHL does a nice job with those commercials now, right? And the latest one, the only one I recognize is Marchand at the end.
The tipping commercial.
With the goalies. It's an awesome commercial.
It's a great commercial. Yeah. I just cannot put a face to anybody's team
or Markstrom,
name.
It's Markstrom, it's Ottinger, it's Swayman. Well,
I watch it like three or four times, five times, I can pick up on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't see these faces.
It's one of my favorite games to play in the dressing room walk-ins from the bus. It's also hard because the players are visored up or whatever. But on the walk-ins, I play like, okay, who's that? And I got to have a 60% hit rate. My job, you know?
Because there's too many.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going. You go to 34, 36, and it's like following college football. It's like, I don't know.
It's a lot of teams.
Who plays for who now, you know?
It's a lot of teams, boys. But I don't know. Where would they go next to? Phoenix?
Well, I think Arizona's the next place.
I keep hearing Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
Atlanta, Arizona?
That'll make hockey fans
happy. That's a new building, a new neighborhood, a new building.
Oh, yeah, great. That'll do it.
I don't know.
Third time's a charm, right, baby?
Houston, London, Quebec City, Kansas City.
What about Canada City?
Newmarket.
Canada,
let's try to hold on
to all of them.
To what we have now.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yep, all good. A couple reads for you. We'll start with the Four Nations. Here we go. Let me read this right, because we just had the commissioner on, and who you could be still listening, I don't know. It's time to get ready for the ultimate international showdown, the NHL's Four Nations face-off from February 12th to 20th. Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the USA will face off in Montreal and Boston as the NHL's best players represent their country on the world stage. Rogers, a proud partner and fan of Canada's team, and they've got a special treat for you. Through their Beyond the Seat program, Rogers is giving you a chance to win a VIP trip to Four Nations face-off game. That's right. Four lucky winners will score a pair of tickets plus travel and accommodations with a new winner selected every week until February 7th. Want in? Head to rogers.com/fournations and enter for your chance to win. And don't forget, fans across Canada can watch every game of the Four Nations face-off exclusively on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Plus. Surprises not in Toronto?
No, based on...
Because you brought that up.
Not based on 2016. I think it kind of scared them off a little bit.
Yeah. I guess it's... You know, it wasn't the response they were hoping for?
It wasn't the response. There wasn't that that must-have ticket. It wasn't...
Because there's too many other things to do.
I don't know. I can't put a pulse on it in terms of...
Having two made-up teams kind of sullied it before ever starting.
I think this
could be different.
I think you're right. It brought down a little bit of the credibility having Team Europe and young guns in it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a
made
very
it feel
valid,
very much like an exhibition than a best on best.
Very
and
that
was
valid.
At the, before the year started, like it was in the September, I think, right? It was before the season actually started. So now in the middle of the season, I think it could be really good. Anyways, game time?
Game time.
It is game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So Leafs tonight, as I pull this up. Sorry, I was just the last thing I had open on my Bet365 was what all the favorites this weekend in the NFL parlayed would pay. It's just not nearly enough.
No.
It's like +220 or something. It's like not the number I was looking for. The Leafs tonight are underdogs on home ice against the New Jersey Devils. +110 on the money line. Devils are -130 coming in here. Some value probably on the Toronto Maple Leafs looking for a win. I'm not going to tell you to bet
McKay
it because
back, yeah.
McKay back, down Tavares, but definitely a desperate team looking for a win, looking for to not get booed off the ice for the third straight game. A couple other good ones tonight. Later on, two excellent hockey games. Edmonton on the second half of back-to-back in Colorado to take on the Avalanche. Potential Western Conference final preview there. Edmonton -105 on the money line. Colorado -115. And even later on, the LA Kings in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. Another good one. The it's even on both sides of the money line, -110. Two excellent games for you after the early games.
13 games tonight total. Little Kings thought Drew Doughty back on the ice.
Nice.
I know.
Like
Team
that?
Canada, does he have time? No.
No. And
time.
Oh.
Okay.
Do you think so? If he,
I do.
If he got a couple games and looked good and there was an injury and it was like, who do we want? It's like,
yeah, maybe.
Probably the guy who wins a lot for maybe. Canada.
And there's one other one I wanted to mention. I love when my favorite league pass team is on the East Coast so I can actually keep an eye on them. The San Jose Sharks are in Columbus to take on the red-hot Columbus Blue Jackets, boys. I think they've won 5 in a row. Their Marchenko was lighted up. Do you see that shootout goal he scored?
Marchenko are legit.
Did you see the shootout goal he scored? The one-hander through the leg, 5-hole? Like, he did, like, a flick through the leg with one hand. He's unbelievable. Anyways, Columbus.
Werenski's killing it.
Can we start talking about him being Norris kind of like?
He's having a year.
He's top three, top four right now.
I think he's over a point per game, isn't he?
If I could look that up quickly here, I don't know if I can do that for you guys. But he's probably up there amongst them.
Unfortunately, Quinn Hughes exists. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, top
finalist.
Three,
yeah,
top four.
Right, yeah.
Yep. All right. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right. Let's take a quick break here while I order flowers or get some candy for my wife. We got news and notes. What do we got, Sammy? Little Cam Neely?
We got Cam Neely talking. We got McDavid passing Jari Kurri. We got NHL unveiling some Stadium Series
and
jerseys.
The heat on Kyle Dubas in Pittsburgh.
The knives are sharp.
That more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's the Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We close out our national hour. We just had on Commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. If you are just joining us by chance on wherever our platform is or YouTube, download us also if
good
you get
stuff
a chance.
There, yeah.
Because it was good. I mean, he had some interesting things to say about the health of the league,
CBA parity,
CBA
salary cap, state taxes expansion, Four Nations, Chase.
Covered a lot here.
Outdoor games.
Thank you for asking my Leaf fan question that he wouldn't even let you finish.
About state taxes and how it affects the salary cap. And he was like, schmuck.
He was literally like disgusted before you even got the question out. So thank you, brother. Yeah. I really do appreciate that.
I will say, I wanted to, if it was a longer interview, to chime in that like, yes, there's no reflection of like Stanley Cups based on state, but it's like the salary cap just got flat the last 5 years. Players just started making their choices based on, oh, I can squeeze out more there. And
correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, but did Sam Reinhart just sign for $8 million?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyways,
you're never like
that guy's a $12 million player.
All the state, the best players in the league. Think about all the state and provinces you have to cover. Mm-hmm. Think about all the political titles that constantly get changed in and out. How new people come in, taxes change. This is here. This is higher. This is lower. It'd be a nightmare.
Hey, it's just be pre-tax though, Kip. Whatever your state taxes, deal with it beyond that. And if the taxes change, you deal with the taxes. But for the NHL's playing purposes, you can only spend.
Commissioner also made a good point. Cost of living. Like, go spend $1 million in
St. Louis. You're doing pretty good.
Oh, Nashville? I mean, see what you can buy in Nashville for $1 million and then compare it to New York or Toronto or Vancouver.
My house is held together with scotch tape and it's worth $1 million.
There's a great, great Instagram account where it's like, what can you get? Like you can buy like a French castle or like a little house in Vancouver for the same price. And you just like go through it.
Yeah. I'm in debt the rest of my life for the house that literally is falling apart every time I turn around.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. All right, on our news and notes, a couple things we want to get into, including, Sammy, you said it best with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. The knives are out, and everybody's talking about recent roster changes, personnel decisions, and, of course, that lies on Kyle Dubas.
So I was talking, you were talking about the one in The Athletic, I believe it was Josh Yeo.
Josh Yeo did one on Jari.
A friend of the show, Frank Cervelli. I wouldn't say his was like necessarily a takedown piece. It was more of a going through his transactions from the first summer that he got there and the damage that it's done. I guess it was a bit of a takedown piece.
It's a bit of a takedown.
Anyways, it's not great. Neither of them are.
Not unearned.
Unearned. Like it's valid. It's fair. I think it's harsh, but I think you need to show some harshness in the situation. Just doesn't seem like it's a good. Seem like they kind of got some momentum back, and they lose three in a row. They lost to the Squids on home ice. Like, seems like it's heading in the wrong direction again. There,
am I wrong to say that you were a big supporter of Kyle Dubas? That you thought that he was heading in the right direction for the Leafs?
Not with the Penguins.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Kyle hired me with the Marlies.
Yes,
I worked them. Like him very much.
He was the new face, the new everything.
Yeah.
He represented what we thought was going to be a changing of the guard.
Yeah, but everyone becomes a caricature of reality. And as many times as Kyle said, listen, I believe in like banging guys in the playoffs, and I go went and got Shannon Labushkin and all these guys, and everyone goes, well, he's just a nerd. It's like, I don't know that reality reflected what people made him out to be. On the other hand, it's totally fair to be like, whatever you think of them, here are the moves. They didn't work. Mm-hmm. You get fired. Totally fair. And I think he would agree with some of that. The Pittsburgh stuff, though, I don't think I've liked the move he's made since he's been there. I was never a Carlson booster. Mm-hmm. Even Noel Achari.
Yeah.
$2 million.
3 years. Right. Crazy. Ryan Graves.
Ryan Graves.
I liked Graves.
Jari.
Yeah, Jari's been terrible.
Just cleared waivers.
Yeah.
That one's a tough one, too.
So it's been bad. It's been really bad in Pittsburgh, for sure.
Like, 5x5 for Jari. Yeah. And like,
you know what I don't get? Like,
can't really.
Who are you bidding against that 4x5 wouldn't have cut it? Like, that's the thing that always gets me.
Okay, I'm not going to defend Kyle Dubas here. But I think there's not a harder situation that you could go into than that one. Where, like, you're going in there as sort of like the teardown guy in a way, like you're like the visionary that's going to start this from the ground up, or you're sort of but you also have Sid and Malkin and, Letang, and you already have the goalie in place and Jari at that time, who was actually pretty good for a couple of years. So you're like, so we're supposed to be good, but I'm also supposed to, like, so I got to trade for Carlson. I got to try to like bluster my way in here, and none of it worked. Like, I kind of understood like the thought process,
but
it's all a disaster.
But
not
to your
one
point,
of them
so,
worked.
So it's the hardest situation. So I'm thinking about facing like Paul Skeens, but he hasn't hit a pitch.
Yes.
Like, yes, it's been good pitching, but it's not like he got a bat on a couple.
Exactly.
You know,
like he's gone 98, 98, 98 right down the middle and he didn't even take a swing.
Yeah.
But when he left here and he ended up in Pittsburgh,
Like, how do you not know? How can you have not read the tea leaves from the moment it got serious that you could go to Pittsburgh, study that scenario, and go, I need a 7-year deal because I could get fired in 2. Like, realistically,
how many year deal did he get?
I'm saying though, but like, it looks like it's kind of shaping up that way. But the reason why he asked for 7 years and all that money is because, number one, he could and have people take it seriously, which the Fenway Group did. But it was really set up that you've got a sliver of hope that you could turn this aging superstar hockey club into something, because if you don't, it's over. Like, I never saw a scenario where he could overcome what's happening now, because he will always be the guy that ruined Sid's last 2 or 3 years of his career. Mm-hmm. You can't recover from that, in my opinion, in that market. They will never forgive him for going down there and not turning this thing around in 2 or 3 years. Now, he could...
Well, if he has success after, they will.
Do you really think they're going to let him after either Sid's gone?
Do you think the fans own the team, or the people who hired him that like him?
But once that building is half empty, the fans will own the team.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can't overcome that. They're already empty. It's already miserable down there. Mm-hmm. You think Kyle Dubas can survive the fans going, this is as bad as it was before we had Mario Lemieux?
Mm-hmm. Or bad as it was before we had Sid, where they got the frozen,
at least you were closer to the Stanley Cups back then with Kevin Stevens, and like, you are so distant from that now.
But in the years before they got Sid, they were horrendous.
I see no scenario where you can miss the playoffs again this year and next year. And then what do you do with Sid? You just watch him babysit this team for another year and a half? Or do you trade him? But whatever it is, Kyle's tied his can to what they are today.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think when you look at a 7-year deal, you're looking at where this aging core is and recognizing that it's on the way down and out, and saying, can you prop it up? And if at any point here, they knew a bottom's coming. And I think that they have him for 7 with the idea that he's going to be there for that post-build.
Tell the fans that right now. Just sell it. Sell it.
I mean, not my job to do it, but I think they believe that, and that's why they signed him for 7 years.
They're not talking like that, though.
No one's saying anything.
Look at what we hear.
Except for people from Philly who are piling on.
Go exactly. Listen to Daniel Briere. They're this close to making the playoffs. He's like, we're not a playoff team. We're not buying. We're not fooling anybody. They're not. That's what they should be saying. They should take a page out of Daniel Briere's book right now and say, we're not fooling anybody. This is the way it is. I already talked to
Sid. To Sammy's point,
Sid could have left. He didn't want to stay. I asked him to stay, help me with the transition, and however long he wants to stay, he's got a job here. But this is going to take 3 or 4 years, and we're going to stink.
I mean, when he went there, they had just signed Malkin. They had just signed Letang. They didn't have a team that you would go in and say, new GM, we're going to stink. That was not the plan when he went there. Yeah. He took a couple of big swings, which was stupid, and I didn't like the swing he made.
They're all bad swings.
But this was the idea, was that there would be a swing, and it missed.
Well,
I don't think he went there on his own and said, I think we got something here, boys.
But he walked into Brendan Shanahan's office however many years ago in Toronto, and he sold something.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work.
Monorail.
And then he took the same sales pitch, and he went to Pittsburgh, and it failed.
Spezza believed in it. He went.
He's got Spezza.
I think he's got a chance to be a good hockey guy, but he's gonna have to separate there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's so funny because, like, again, this feels so much more about, like, people's frustration and anger at something that I don't know what you think he is, or whatever, that there is some moral failing involved.
Well, I mean, just that he's part of like Team Canada.
Yes.
Everyone, like, he does seem to have a bit of a spell over people.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's a great talker.
Like, it really, like, he's got this almost like he's tricking people a little bit, like a little bit of a snake oil salesman, if I'm being honest. Because it's like, what has he, like, you know, you'll push back on this, but like, what has he done?
Nothing.
To be a Team Canada guy. He's like with Doug Armstrong and like Jim Nill.
I know he's like Montebore.
He didn't win Memorial Cups.
No, I just...
He won a Calder Cup with an NHL salary.
Yeah.
He's got a...
it's funny because it's like the people who've decided they don't like the new school and here come, they're taking our jobs. You know, they've decided they've painted him with all this whatever. It's like they were wildly successful. The years I was there, we didn't have an NHL salary cap. We went to the final. We went to the conference final. Yeah. They're very good hockey people. They're not idiots. So I agree that it's gone poorly. I agree that, the knives out are earned for Dubas in this case.
I think he could.
But people are really enjoying this for the same reasons people are hiring him.
I mean, I got that article by Frank DMing by literally six different people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a popular piece amongst Leafs Nation.
I'm
let's
sure
just say
big,
that.
Yeah.
But, I feel almost at this point where it's like, well, everyone kind of knows.
I think a lot of people who, you know.
Like, remember the articles that were wrote after you left here? People are crying and it's like.
Was it people?
Yeah.
Or was it the one that you're thinking of?
Well, there was an article written about how it's like there's this irreplaceable hole in the Maple Leafs organization. And yeah. I don't know. I just never got it.
Fair enough.
And anyways, go ahead.
Okay. Cam Neely, anything there?
I would rather talk about McDavid greasily elbowing a guy and getting away with it.
Yeah, so right. Did the
that
game
was
last
your
night.
Game last night.
It was.
And what did you guys say about it?
We said nothing about it. Because Marcus Johansson has the chin of the first guy in Mike Tyson's super punch out.
Yeah, he's
that's
he's
what
had
you needed
few.
To say on the telecast last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, maybe.
He's had a few.
So were you guys like all in agreement that it was nothing?
Colby thought it was nothing. Thought it was like a, you know, incidental, if at best, glancing contact. Mm. I kind of feel like he barely touched him. But we got it. But I do think he did it. Like, I don't think he didn't try to hit him. I also don't think he's a criminal for it.
But it's not suspendable to me.
No, it's a penalty. But put him in the box for elbowing. I don't know.
Yeah. And, even if he doesn't deserve a fine, fine him.
Look, he's getting shot in an old Western.
You have a great opportunity to fake a message that we treat all our players equal.
Yeah. Well, hey, how about this, though? Here's what kills me.
Just fine him.
Here's what kills me. The slew foot he took, was it from Kempe or whatever?
Yeah.
And you look at the way that other sports protect their superstars.
That was 10 times worse than that.
I admit to feeling some protection for over McDavid here, because that slew foot on him, we should be going, you can't touch him. He is a non-touchable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-game suspension. You can't slew foot McDavid. So when McDavid his jersey brushed up against the chin hero, Johansson, I feel a little protected.
I'm with you. Like, he could baseball swing Marty McSorley style, and I still wouldn't suspend him.
I wouldn't.
But
the NBA, you can't touch their best players.
You can fake it. You could have faked it.
If you breathe on Patrick Mahomes, you're kicked out of the league.
Well, yeah, they're like, how do we get Taylor Swift into the Super Bowl?
There's another great account on Instagram. It's like, 15-yard penalty for holding on Patrick Mahomes. Chief win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if anyone goes anywhere near him, like, you're done.
Can we rig it up a little bit here for our best guys?
And Ryan Hartman, greasy slew foot, kicks out the legs of Draisaitl last night.
This is the one guy that everybody spends like $300 to go see.
Yes.
Like, you suspend him. It's like showing up at a Taylor Swift concert and Taylor ain't there.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't suspend. That's not even close to suspension.
Right.
You could give him five. I mean, they did suspend Matthews for something.
It was one of those things. Like, should we talk on the broadcast? Should we talk about this? Anyways. Is this big enough to talk about?
Oh, no, it was big enough
but
to
they
talk
should have
about.
Absolutely suspended Kempe for that slew foot. That was rotten. The best player in the league. Yeah. Anyways.
Wow. What a jam-packed two hours today, boys.
Yeah, good stuff.
What a radio program.
All right, thanks to Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, in our Leaf Hour. And then, of course, the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. And again, if you are just catching us live now, you can download it, watch it on YouTube. But a lot of interesting things from the commissioner. And we
Great
thank
chat.
Thank him for coming on the air. Tomorrow, off the rails, Doug McClain.
Leafs line, baby.
And Leafs line.
Call in.
All right. Have a great night, everybody.